نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them many men and women. And fear Allah so we demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. Continuing with Adur al-Bahiyya by Imam al-Shawkani, we're continuing with the chapter or the book, Kitab al-Salat, the Book of Salat. We come to Al-Bab al-Rabi wa-Ashar, Bab al-Salat al-Kusufayni. The 14th chapter, the Salat of the Eclipse. And the statement of Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, هي سنة وأصح ما ورد في صفتها ركعتان في كل ركعة ركوعان وورد ثلاثة وأربعة وخمسة يقرأ بين كل ركوعين وورد في كل ركعة ركوع وندب الدعاء والتكبير والتصدق والاستغفار. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says about the two salat of the eclipse, he says that they are sunnah. And that which is most authentically narrated according to its description is two raka'ah. And every raka'ah you have two ruku'us. And it's also been narrated with three ruku'us and four ruku'us and five ruku'us. You read between both of the two ruku'us. And it's been narrated that in every raka'ah there's only one ruku'. And it's been recommended that we make du'a and say the takbir and give charity and seek forgiveness. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says that the two salat of the eclipse are sunnah. The two salat of the eclipse means when it's the moon and the sun, meaning in the daytime and at nighttime. The solar and the lunar. Jazakallahu khairan. The solar and the lunar eclipse. Imam al-Shawkani rahimullah is referring to both of them. And when he says sunnah, meaning that it's recommended.
to make the salah. And this is the position of our Shaykh rahimahullah. Before we mention the hadith, this statement of Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, it brings us back to a point that was lingering with last week's class on the salat of the musafir, or the one traveling. And sometimes there's a difference of an opinion on some of these issues. And what we've been doing, inshallah ta'ala, is bringing the position of the Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah and establishing that position. Unless it's very clear that the Shaykh rahimahullah is dead wrong, then we let his position go, even if there's a difference of an opinion in the issue, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As we said, what we had intended from our classes, inshallah, was to go through this small book at least one time, so that we have a basic fiqh of the deen. And then inshallah ta'ala, the next time around, we can begin with a bigger book and more detail of the issues of fiqh, as we are doing on Wednesday and Thursday, as we had covered before, marriage and divorce in brief, from the book Al-Munakhalatu An-Nuniyya by Murad Shukri. And then now we're coming with the marriage and divorce in a little more detail. And whoever is a beginner can refer back to those tapes. And the same thing with this issue, or if it's the beginning, can refer to these. And then as we go along, to have a little more detail. And to take in mind what was mentioned in the khutbah last Friday, there's no escape from learning the Arabic language if we want some more details. Really, when you translate to the language of the people, you want to give them what's sufficient enough for them to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and their deen, or to do what's going to be pleasing of them, of Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to fulfill their basic purpose in life of worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So whoever wants more details should, inshallah, take full advantage of the Arabic classes so that they can learn more, inshallah, and Allah knows best. The reason I wanted to mention that point, as he says, is sunnah, ya rahamukallah. He says that this is sunnah. And some of the ulama, they say that it's compulsory. And the issue is that we know that this is from the deen, whether it's recommended or compulsory. And maybe at the time that we go into some detail about these subjects, we might discuss that. But like we said, unless the Shaykh is dead wrong, then we will continue to establish the point of the Shaykh. And we'll just see, walhamdulillah, in this chapter, that the Shaykh is dead wrong on one of the positions. And we'll clarify, inshallah ta'ala. In the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, an Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, خسفت الشمس في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فصلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالناس فقام فأطال القيام ثم ركع فأطال الركوع ثم قام فأطال القيام وهو دون القيام الأول ثم ركع فأطال الركوع وهو دون الركوع الأول ثم سجد فأطال السجود ثم فعل في الركعة الثانية مثل ما فعل في الأولى ثم انصرف وقد انجلت الشمس فخطب الناس فحمد الله وأثنى عليه ثم قال إن الشمس والقمر آيتان من آيات الله لا ينخسفان لموت أحد ولا لحياته فإذا رأيتم ذلك فادعوا الله وكبروا وصلوا وتصدقوا. To the end of that hadith, where Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah and Imam Muslim, they narrate on the authority of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that she said, there was a solar eclipse during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the people in the salah. He stood up and he made a long standing. He stood up in the salah, of course, after the takbir. And there was a long standing. Then he went into ruku' and there was a long ruku', or he went into the bowing position, and he was there for a long time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he came back up to the standing position, and he stood in the standing position for a long time, though it wasn't as long as it was the first time. Then he went back to Rukur, to the bowing position, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he stood there for a long time, but not as long as he stood for the first time, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he made prostration, and he stayed in prostration or sujood for a long time. Then he raised up for the second raka'ah, and he did in the second raka'ah exactly what he did in the first raka'ah, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. Then he left the salat, or he completed the salat, and the solar eclipse had finished. And he gave a khutbah to the people as he praised Allah and glorified him in a manner befitting to his majesty. And then he said, indeed the sun and the moon are two signs from the signs of Allah. They don't have an eclipse for the death of anyone, nor for the birth of anyone. So when you see it, then make dua to Allah and say the takbir of Allahu Akbar and make the salah and give charity. So here we see in this hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam established from his sunnah the eclipse salah. Both the sun or the solar and the lunar eclipse, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he established it in his life, as we see in this hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So here the statement of Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah is sunnah, that we find it in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And he says the most authentic narration pertaining to his description is two raka'ah. And that two raka'ah is, as we just saw in the hadith that we quoted from Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam did the first raka'ah, and then he did in the second raka'ah the same thing that he did in the first raka'ah for the solar eclipse. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says in every raka'ah is two rukus, and every raka'ah is two bowings. As we see in the normal salat, you're in the qiyam, the standing, then you go to the rukur, the bowing, and then you come back up, and then you go down and prostrate to Allah tabaraka ta'ala. And this example of the eclipse salat, there's two rukurs. So you're in the standing, the qiyam, then you go down to rukur, then you come back up, and the imam continues reciting again. Then you go back down to the bowing position. Then you come back up again. Then you go down to prostration to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we saw that in the first hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam did two rukurs in each raka'ah. Or as some of the ulama explained, two raka'ahs and four rukurs, or four bowing positions in two raka'ahs, as opposed to the two bowing positions in two raka'ahs as we normally do our salat. Has everybody here made salatu al-kusuf? Everybody made the eclipse salat here? Everybody? Some people haven't. Inshallah, if we live, maybe there'll be another eclipse and we'll make the salat. And this is a long salat, if some of the people remember when we made it, as there's no salat in Islam as long as this salat. As we saw in the statement that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam finished the salat and the eclipse was over. And oftentimes the eclipse lasts like 3 hours or something. And this is from the time that it starts to the time that it's over with. Like when it gets the first little part of the shadow until it's complete blackness, and then until it's over completely. It's also been narrated that there are three ruku'us in every raka'ah, meaning three bowing positions in every raka'ah. And we see this in the example, of the hadith of Imam Al-Bukhari and Muslim in this narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma qal, إن خصفت الشمس على أهل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فصلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقام قياما طويلا نحوا من قراءة سورة البقرة ثم ركع ركوعا طويلا ثم رفع فقام قياما طويلا وهو دون القيام الأول ثم ركع ركوعا طويلا وهو دون الركوع الأول ثم سجد ثم قام قياما طويلا وهو دون القيام الأول ثم ركع ركوعا طويلا وهو دون الركوع الأول ثم رفع فقام قياما طويلا وهو دون القيام الأول ثم ركع ركوعا طويلا وهو دون الركوع الأول ثم سجد ثم انصرف وقد تجلت الشمس فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الشمس والقمر آيتان من آيات الله لا يخسفان لموت أحد ولا لحياتي فإذا رأيتم ذلك فاذكروا الله. Now this narration of Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he says there was a solar eclipse during the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, he led the salat and he stood with a long standing with the likes of the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah. And then he went down in ruku' or in the bowing position and he stayed there for a long time. And then he raised up his head sallallahu alaihi wasallam and it was less than he did the first time. And then he went down in the bowing position and he stood there for a long time and it was less than he stood in the first one. Then he made prostration. Then he stood up with a long standing. And it wasn't as long as he stood the first time. Then he made the rukur and it was long, but it wasn't as long as the first time. Then he raised his head and he stood for a standing that was long, but not as long as the first time. And then he went into rukur and he was in there for a long time, but it wasn't as long as the first time. Then he prostrated, and then he left the salat or finished the salat, and the shams and the sun was clear again. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Indeed, the sun and the moon are two signs from the signs of Allah. They don't have an eclipse for the death of anyone, nor for the birth of anyone. So if you see that, remember Allah." I wasn't counting, but it seemed like it was only two. Huh? It was two. Let me back up. Okay. That was my mistake. The Shaykh was mentioning two hadiths. I kept referring back to the first hadith. I'm getting a little confused with my number system here. I was referring back to the first hadith where it had two rukus in each rak'ah. And the Shaykh, he in fact brought another narration from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, showing that this is also two rukus. In each raka'ah, just as it was established in the first one. The way we're going in our book, inshallah, so you can see how I'm getting a little confused. We're covering the Durrul Bahiyyah by Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, and if you can see it, it's on the above the line, where we cover the basic text of which we're explaining. And then we have with us Al-Adillatul Radiyyah by Muhammad Subhi Hassan Al-Hallaq, where he brings the evidences and sometimes an explanation or a clarification of the points of Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah. And the number 223 looks like 222 almost, if you're not really paying close attention to the lines there. At any rate, this was for the second, and then we'll read the next hadith for the third, inshallah. I thought you were staying with us. At any rate, Imam Muhammad Subih Hassan al-Hallaq, he was using this other narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas to support the same thing that was mentioned in the first one, that there are two rakus for every rakah. As for the hadith for three rukus or three bowings for every rakah, then this is the narration of Imam Muslim rahimahullah on the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu qala in kasafat ash-shamsu fi ahdi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam yawma mata ibrahim ibn rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam فقال الناس إن من كشفت لموت إبراهيم فقام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فصلى بالناس ست ركعات بأربع سجدات بدأ فكبر ثم قرأ فأطال القراءة ثم ركع نحوا مما قام ثم رفع رأسه من الركوع فقرأ قراءة دون القراءة الأولى ثم ركع نحوا مما قام ثم رفع رأسه من الركوع فقرأ قراءة دون القراءة الثانية ثم ركع نحو مما قام ثم رفع رأسه من الركوع ثم انحدر بالسجود فسجد سجدتين ثم قام فركع أيضا ثلاث ركعات ليس فيها ركعة إلا التي قبلها أطول من التي بعدها وركوعه نحو من سجوده ثم تأخر وتأخرت الصفوف خلفه حتى انتهينا وقال أبو بكر حتى انتهى إلى النساء ثم تقدم وتقدم الناس معه حتى قام في مقامه فانصرف حين انصرف وقد آضت الشمس فقال يا أيها الناس إنما الشمس والقمر آيتان من آيات الله وإنهما لا ينكسفان لموت أحد من الناس وقال أبو بكر لموت بشر فإذا رأيتم ذلك فصلوا حتى تنجليا. And this narration of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah, he said that there was a lunar eclipse during the time of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. The day that Ibrahim, the son of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, died. So the people said that there's only an eclipse because of the death of Ibrahim, radiallahu anhu, the son of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, stood up and led the people in salah, with six bowings and four prostrations. With six rukurs and four prostrations. And that's referring to three bowings and two prostrations to every rak'ah. So he began by saying the takbir of Allahu Akbar. Then he read with a long recitation. And then he went to the bowing position, and he was there as long as he read, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he raised his head up from rukur and he read with a recitation that was shorter than the first. Then he went down to the bowing position or rukur and he was there as long as he stood. And then he raised his head up again from the rukur and he read with a recitation that was less than the second recitation. And then he went down to rukur and he was there for as long as he stood. And then he raised his head up from the rukur and then he went down to sujood and he made two sajdas. We see clearly that it was three rukurs in the first rak'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he stood up for the next rak'ah and he also made three rukurs in that rak'ah. And there wasn't any raka'ah except that the one that was before it was longer than the one that was after it. And that the ruku' was just as long as the sujood, or the bowing position was just as long as the prostration position. And then he backed up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the rows behind him backed up, alayhi salatu wasalam, until they got close to the rows of the women. As the women are making salat behind the men, and they kept backing up until they got close to the rows of the women. And then he came forward, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the people came forward with him, alayhi salatu wasalam, until he was in the same place that he was when he started, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he finished up there, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the eclipse was over with. And then he said, O humanity, the sun and the moon
are only signs from the signs of Allah. So if ever there's whenever there's an eclipse, it's not for the death of any one of the people. So whenever you see the eclipse, then make the salat until the eclipse is over with. So in this narration of Imam Muslim rahimullah, we see that the ruku' was three times in every rak'ah. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimullah, he says there was four ruku's in every rak'ah. And we see this in the hadith of Imam Muslim also, from the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, an nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annahu salla fi kusufin, qara'a thumma raka'a, thumma qara'a thumma raka'a, thumma qara'a thumma raka'a, thumma qara'a thumma raka'a, thumma sajda qal, wal ukhra mithluha. And this narration of Imam Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, on the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he led the people in the kusuf salat, or in the eclipse salat, and he read, and then he made a rukur. And then he read, and then he made a rukur. And then he read, and then he made a rukur. And then he read, and then he made a rukur. And then he prostrated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the other raka'ah was just like that raka'ah. So we see in this narration of Imam Muslim rahimahullah that there are four ruku's in one rak'ah, and this has been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he goes on to say that there were five ruku's in one rak'ah. And on this point we say that Imam Ash-Shawkani is dead wrong. And we see that he was using the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, who said that there was a solar eclipse on the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the people in salat, and he read a long surah, and then he made five rukurs, and then he made two prostrations, and then he stood up for the second rak'ah and he read a long surah, and then he did five rukurs, and then he made two prostrations, then he sat down like he normally does while he's facing the Qibla and making dua until the eclipse was over with. And this hadith is da'if, or not authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we had covered before, that there's no verdict in Islam from a hadith that has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And for this reason we say that he's dead wrong. And for some people who feel that there's a difference of an opinion in the issue of using da'if hadith as proof, the ulama agree unanimously that there's no verdict established for a fiqh position from a hadith that has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. The issue of difference of an opinion is around the issue of virtuous deeds, meaning not in the issue of aqidah, and not in the issue of fiqh, meaning ibadah, or not in the case of mu'amalat, or like the business transactions or whatever that you have verdicts from Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to establish, but on the virtuous deeds, those deeds that you are encouraged to do, like you're encouraged to make more sunnah salah, and you're encouraged to do more fasting, and you're encouraged to give more charity, that in this chapter where no verdict is being established, that the ulama differ as to is it permissible to use a da'if hadith to establish that virtuous deed. And what is correct is that even in that, it's not even permissible to use a da'if hadith to establish a virtuous deed, or as they say, the fada'il al-amal, as nothing is established from that which has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And we had explained in detail in one of the talks, lying on the Prophet, or the verdict of da'if hadith. I forget the name of the title of that. At any rate, this is the example when we say that if we feel that Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah is dead wrong, and there's no way to give him the benefit of the doubt, then we make it clear that the Shaykh was dead wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook him. And we hope that it is the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكَمُ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا وَإِذَا أَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ وَاحِدٌ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the hakim, or if the scholar is trying to make a verdict in Islam, and he's correct, then he's rewarded with two rewards, and if he's wrong, he gets one reward. And the ulama, they explain two rewards, one for the intention to be correct and then actually being correct. And the one reward, the reward for the intention of being correct. Sometimes we might ask, as some of the people used to ask, how could the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu be da'if when he's a companion of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam? How could the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b be da'if when he was the companion of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and the hafiz of the Quran? This is because the hadith isn't considered da'if because the companion narrated it, but the chain goes back to the one who collected it. And then you see in the chain there's someone who is da'if, and the hadith therefore is da'if. Not that it's because it was narrated on the companion of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, because once it's authentically reported back to the companion, then their narration on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is considered sahih. So the problem is not from the Sahaba to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but the problem is after the Sahaba, meaning either with the issue of the Tabi'un or the Tabi'u Tabi'in or those scholars that come after them. The other question that can come up or arise is, how can you say it's da'if when Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah from the scholars of Islam is using it for proof? Because perfection is for Allah and no one is always correct. Perfection is for Allah and no one is always correct. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent ulama, and the ulama checked with the ulama. As our Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, in one of the books that we have called, got the name of it, Saylul Jarar, by Imam al-Shawkani, when what he's doing is, he's taking a small metin or a small text, like we're covering in his text. He took one of the ulama who came before him, and then he's bringing the evidence, just like our Shaykh Muhammad Subi Hassan al-Halaq is bringing the evidence to show, was the Shaykh correct or not correct, and why. So even Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he did that to some of the ulama who came before him. And of course the ulama who came after him do the same thing, everyone trying their best to establish that which is most correct from Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, and you read between each of the two rukurs. Meaning you have a standing, then you go to rukur, then you stand again. On that second standing, where we usually just say, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa lakal hamd, and go down, you continue reciting in that one. And this is what Imam al-Shawkani rahimullah is referring to when he said you read between the two rukurs. You go to the first rukur, and you're reading, and then you go to rukur, then you come back up, and you're reading again before you go down to the second rukur. And we see this in all of the hadith that were mentioning, that there was always a recitation as he came back up before he went down to the rukur again, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's also been narrated that there's only one rukur for every rak'ah, like we do in our normal salat. And this is, as we see in the hadith of Imam Muslim rahimullah, an Abdul Rahman ibn Samura, قال بينما أنا أرمي بسهمي في حياة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ انكشفت الشمس إذ انكسفت الشمس فنبذتهن وقلت لأنظرن إلى ما يحدث لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في انكساف الشمس اليوم فانتهيت إليه وهو رافع يديه يدعو ويكبر ويحمد ويحلل حتى جلي عن الشمس فقرأ سورتين وركع ركعتين. And this narration of Imam Muslim rahimahullah on the authority of Abdul Rahman Ibn Samara radiallahu anhu, he said, as I was shooting my bow and arrow during the life of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, there was an eclipse. So I dropped down my arrows and I said, let me see what's going to take place with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam today concerning this eclipse. So I went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he was raising his hand making dua and saying Allahu Akbar and saying Alhamdulillah and saying La ilaha illallah until the eclipse was over with. And he read two surahs and he made two rukurs. So here, or two raka'as, meaning two rukurs and two raka'as as we normally do in our salah. So here Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimullah, he said it's also been narrated that there are, or there is one rukur in each raka'ah. So we see from all of these narrations that there's one rukur and in each raka'ah, two, three, and four, and it hasn't been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam that there was five. And Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he said what is most authentic is two. Meaning this is what the ulama have felt was the norm or the normal practice of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And they usually mention the other positions to show that whoever practiced it, then it's okay because the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam did it. But what is normal is the two rukurs in each raka'ah, and this is what the people should do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says that it's recommended to make dua and to say Allahu Akbar and to give charity and to seek forgiveness. And we saw some of this mentioned in some of the hadith that we had already covered, and we also see it here in the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. عن أبي موسى رضي الله عنه قال خسفت الشمس فقام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فزعا يخشى أن تكون ساعة فأتى المسجد فصلى بأطول قيام وركوع وسجود رأيته قط يفعله وقال هذه الآيات التي يرسل الله لا تكون لموت أحد ولا لحياته ولكن يخوف الله بها عباده فإذا رأيتم شيئا من ذلك فافزعوا إلى ذكره ودعائه واستغفاره. Now this hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Musa Al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he said that there was an eclipse during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up frightened as if the last hour was about to be established. So he went to the masjid and he made salat with the longest standing and the longest rukur and the longest sujood that I ever seen him do before. And he said, indeed these are signs that Allah has sent, and it's not for the death or the birth of anyone. Rather, Allah will fear by these signs his servants. So when you see anything from the eclipse, then hurry to the remembrance of Allah and to making dua to Allah and seeking the forgiveness of Allah. And we have read already before in one of the narrations where it had mentioned and to give the sadaqah, as we have mentioned in one of the narrations before. And this is the basic explanation to the statement of Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimullah that the eclipse salat, that is sunnah, and the most authentic thing that has been narrated in its description is that there are two raka'ah. In each raka'ah there are two rukurs, and it's been narrated to have three and four and five, though the fifth is not authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Between every rukur you do a recitation of the Quran, and it's been narrated even that there's only one rukur to every raka'ah. And it's recommended to make dua and to say Allahu Akbar and to give sadaqah and to say the istighfar. And even we had saw in some of the narrations, and to say La ilaha illallah, and to also say Alhamdulillah, as we saw in some of the authentic narrations on the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is what we wanted to present today, and Allah knows best. Alhamdulillah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. In the narration that I mentioned, that the Messenger of Allah had backed up, and the people backed up so much until they got close, the men had got close to the women. And then the Messenger of Allah came up, and the people came up with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. The Shaykh, he didn't mention, and we don't want to really speculate, and I have wanted to check, and I don't remember before reading the explanation of this hadith, was the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam standing when he backed up, or in what position was he when he backed up? What seems to be normal is that you back up while you're in the standing position, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As we saw before, the example of the Salatul Khawf, or the Salat of Fear, that when the Messenger of Allah, that when the people were changing positions, that they were standing when they made their changes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. Is there anything, any particular type of sadaqah? No, it just says, like in this narration of Bukhari and Muslim, فَدُوا اللَّهَ وَكَبِّرُوا وَصَلُّوا وَتَصَدَّقُوا. Make dua to Allah, say Allahu Akbar, make salah, and give charity. Just like a commandment to give charity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how specifically except to give charity. And the normal form of giving charity is to just give money or your wealth to the poor, and Allah knows best. Yes. Excuse me. The brother on Ilm Online, if there are any questions, then we can take it now, inshallah, as when you come up from the bowing position, do you just say Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa lakal hamd? I don't know, Allah knows best. Let me just leave it at that, inshallah. I don't know, Allah knows best. What we do is say Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa lakal hamd, and then we continue the reciting. Right now, it's slipping my mind if this was actual the statements of the ulama, or from what I know that the Muslims do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We might double check that, inshallah ta'ala. Maybe there's a question for some of the people who weren't here. Is this recitation during the Salatul Kusuf, is this recitation allowed or silent? The recitation is allowed. For those who didn't do it, let's describe it to you. You stand up in the salat for about 3 hours in 2 raka'ah. That means it's like 3 nights of tarawih, 8 raka'ahs each night, combined all that into 2 raka'ahs in one night. And if you think your feet burn when the people recite like Surah Al-Jumu'ah or Surah Al-Munafiqun or something like that, then you can imagine the way your feet would be burning on the bottom when you're listening to this long recitation of the Quran for the whole eclipse to go through.
Rather, here we had, as it wasn't very clear for us here to see the eclipse, that the news had really come to us a little later, and we had only did about an hour and 45 minutes or something like that, and subhanallah al-azim. And I remember we were in Medina, and they used to do the eclipse, but we didn't know any better at that time. Unfortunately, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. May Allah decrease the number of the people with this type of attitude. They told us the salat is about 3.5 hours long. You don't stand up like that. Just cool out. When it looked like, you know, a couple hours had passed or so, then we'll go to the masjid. And then we'll just finish off, inshallah, the last part of the salat, and stand up and make the other rak'ah, and you'll be finished, inshallah. They said, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wusaha. Allah doesn't burden a soul beyond his capability. And this is how the people, they used to play with us before we understood Islam. That they're always trying to make you not practice Islam. You don't have to do that. And wallahi, nothing could have been better for us to learn than the statement, you don't have to do that. When somebody tells us, you don't have to do it, then we'll tell them, no, you don't have to do it. And that we want to try to do as much as we could of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, seeking the reward from Allah. As one of our sheikhs had described us during the Hajj period, Muhammad ibn Abdul Maqsood from Egypt, he said, wallahi, I was very pleased with the manhaj of the brothers from East Orange during their Hajj package. That they weren't concerned with what was a pillar of the Hajj, or what was wajib of the Hajj, or what was recommended of the Hajj, or what was the difference of an opinion of the Hajj. They were concerned with one thing. What did the Prophet do in his Hajj? And that's what they did. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward those people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But this is how we hope we are, inshallah. As Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says in his book of Al-Adhkar, that there are so many dhikrs on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. I would love to do at least every single one of them one time in my life, at least. And this should be the attitude, and Allah knows best, of the believers, that we try to do as much as we could of Islam, even if we only do it one time. As there are many of us, we've been Muslim for how many years, we never made one eclipse salat. Or we haven't made Hajj one time, or we haven't made Umrah, or of the many things in Islam, and we should be eager to strive to do as much as we could, even if it's only one time. As there's many things to do in Islam, but if, at least we could say, I did that before. Hopefully for the sake of it, not, you know, like we're bragging to say, I did that, or I did that, or I did this, but to at least meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being able to have that on your scales. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us. Back to the question. Was I asking a question? Do you recite aloud or not? Yes, you recite aloud. And the hadith is collected by Al-Bukhari. A Muslim on the, excuse me, by Al-Bukhari on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, قالت جهر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في صلاة الخسوف بقراءته, to the end of that hadith, where she said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم recited loud in the eclipse salat with his recitation. So the recitation in the eclipse salat is loud so that the people can hear. And this salat, there's no salat in Islam longer than this salat. There's no salat in Islam longer than this. And if we can do it at least one time in our lives, it's good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. Does the salat have to be in congregation? The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam established this salat for us in congregation. As we see in the narrations that when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he was frightened, he hurried to the masjid sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make the salat. And as the brother was questioning, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam backed up, and he came forward, and the people backed up and came forward. This showed that there were a congregation with him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And not only that, but there were men and women in the congregation, as the men had almost backed up to the women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Could you please repeat the last hadith about the law recitation, where it is, inshallah?
Yeah, that hadith is from Al-Bukhari, and I only quoted part of it. I'll quote the rest of it, inshallah. Wa Aisha radiallahu anha, she said in this hadith of Al-Bukhari, جهر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في صلاة الخسوف بقراءته فإذا فرغ من قراءته كبر وركع فركع وإذا رفع من الركعة قال سمع الله لمن حمد ربنا ولك الحمد ثم يعاود القراءة في صلاة الخسوف أربع ركعات في ركعتين وأربع سجدات. And this is also the answer to another one of our questions, inshallah. Where she said that the Prophet ﷺ recited aloud in his recitation on the eclipse salah. And when he finished from his recitation, he said Allahu Akbar and went into ruku'. And then when he raised his head up from the ruku', he said Sami Allahu liman hamida Rabbana walakal hamd. And then he went back to the qira'ah. In the eclipse salat, there was four rukurs and two raka'as and four prostrations or four sujood. So there's two raka'ah and four rukur and four sujood. Two sujood and two rukur for every raka'ah. And this is also the answer to the question of the brother. Do you say Sami Allahu liman hamida Rabbana wa lakal hamd and continue? And we see in this narration that has skipped me as I was just focusing on the first part of the hadith, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. And this is because of the way we are, astaghfirullah, and the latter generations, we're just lazy, we want to get to the point. And even sometimes when the hadith is long, you hear me say, let's just read the translation without reading the hadith. And oftentimes this is the way that we are, and this is why our knowledge is much limited than the knowledge of the people who came before us, who started at the first page and didn't finish until they got to the last page, covering every single point. But we just want to get to the point that concerns us. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is best. Yes.
तेरे छुपने के रास्ते मैंने दुनिया में बनाए थे तेरे गुनाहों पर मैंने दुनिया में पर्दे डाले थे.
If you have many sahaba narrating basically the same hadith in different ways on the Messenger of Allah, and all of them are authentically reported on the Prophet, which one of them do you follow? You follow all of them. Well, how could the Prophet be doing six different things at one time? He couldn't be. What he did was that one time, and that one time, and that one time, and that another time, and he could have done all of them. And this is how you get each companion narrating what they saw from the Prophet wasallam. And it's not strange that the Prophet had did the same thing in different ways, and all of those ways that have been authentically reported on the Prophet wasallam, all of them are permissible. And even in this case, we saw, if we were paying attention, we saw that there's a narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma for four raka'ah, four rukurs, and one raka'ah. And he's also narrating the hadith of two rukurs and one raka'ah. And this is the same sahabi narrating both of the different instances that took place with the eclipse salat from the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes.
लोग ये समझते हैं कि पैसा जोड़ के जाओ औलाद के लिए ताकि हमारे औलाद सुरखरू रहे.
اور سکھی رہے. ارے میرے بھائی حرام پیسے سے اولادیں ہلاک ہوتی دیکھی گئی ہیں, حرام کمائیوں سے اولادیں برباد ہوتی ہیں, کبھی کوئی اولاد سرخر نہیں ہوتی. اللہ تقوی پر پالتا ہے. ارے خضر الاسلام کا قصہ سنو.
From what we have explained, is that clear? What's not clear? Now you get into another issue in, as we're going to a case in particular. But the first case, let's deal with the case that I explained, which was the answer to the question. Now you want to get to the second thing. With this case that you mentioned, where's the difference at? What you have to do is you have to bring both of those narrations in. You have to bring both of those narrations in, and then we'll explain, inshallah, from what you read. In general, I'll just say, as we have to see the exact narrations you're talking about, so that we can look at it in light of what's been said, to make sure that nothing has been left out. But just in general, what you're referring to is something different now. Alright, what we were dealing with at first is different companions seeing the Prophet ﷺ do different things. And all of that's okay. In the other case, you have different, what you're mentioning, different companions taking different positions. And the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, the finest of this ummah after the Prophet ﷺ, at times differed in things. And they themselves had to be called back to the Quran and the Sunnah, as everyone is called back to if there's any differences. As Allah commands us, مَنْ تَنَعَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you differ in anything, take it back to Allah and the Messenger. As we know in the case when the Prophet ﷺ died, Omar took his sword out. It comes in some of the narrations and said the Prophet hasn't died. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu had to come, no, he's dead. And then to clarify with the ayah in the Quran. And then there's other cases amongst the Sahaba where one of them may have been mistaken because the narration didn't come to them. Like in the case of Umar and Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu, where he had knocked on the door three times. He didn't hear Umar say, come in. So he left. And then when Umar found out who was knocking at my door and ran, Abu Musa said, no, I knocked three times. And then I didn't get permission to come in, so I left, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Umar said, listen, I'm the Prophet's companion. I ain't hear no such statement. You better bring some witnesses, or I'm going to beat you publicly for lying on the Messenger of Allah. At any rate, alhamdulillah, he brought his witnesses. And this took place sometimes during the time of the Sahaba, that all of them didn't hear everything. Like Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he was poor. And we heard one of the statements of some of the people of knowledge, and we'll take advantage of this time, inshallah, to mention it. Abu Hurairah, he was poor and he didn't have a job. So what he took as his job, instead of having a job, was memorizing the hadith of the Messenger of Allah. And this is what we used to advise some of the brothers here in the community, some of the brothers who are unemployed. Okay, come to the masjid and memorize everything. And wallahi, if somebody comes to the masjid unemployed and memorizing everything, don't you think the rest of the community is going to help that brother? Because he's learning the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, just like the people helped Abu Hurairah. Probably in the beginning, everybody was saying, get a job, till they realized nobody knows more Islam than him. Then you say, we better feed him, let him keep on going in the direction he's going. And the same thing of some of the brothers here, if they were unemployed, that they might spend 3 or 4 or 5 hours looking for a job, and then they spend the rest of the day in the masjid, cleaning up the masjid, running any errands that might be needed, and then memorizing the Quran, learning the Arabic, memorizing the hadith of the Messenger of Allah. So sometimes the case might be a case of the Sahaba differing, and then one of them being more correct than the other based on the text that they bring from the Quran and the Sunnah to support the position that they were establishing. Allah knows best. I don't know if this is the case. It's not clear to me, these two hadith of Aisha and Umar about the issue of wailing, as I'm only memorizing that the Messenger of Allah have prohibited that from us in the strongest terms by his statement, Laysa minna, that he's not from amongst us, the one who does this. So maybe you might like to bring in the exact, where you read exactly, and then we'll take a look at the exact wording, and then we can clarify, or inshallah we would ask the people who are more knowledgeable than we are to clarify. As Islam is the way that Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Don't the people reflect on this Quran? If it was from other than Allah, you would have found many discrepancies in it. But this Quran is from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is revelation from Allah, and there's no discrepancies, walhamdulillah. It's just a matter of us laying it out and then clarifying the issue, inshallah ta'ala. I don't know if there was anything left else around the Salat al-Kusur, eclipse Salat. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله.